This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gipps, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
We have, we're going to chat with Michael Potter. Now, Michael is from the Centre for Independent Studies, and I want to talk about the bank levy and a couple of other issues. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Hi, great. How are you?
Very good. Look, first off, I wanted to touch on your comment on Twitter yesterday, cancelling the party. The economy's in poor shape. Investment, wages and growth per person are tanking, and you gave some stats. And basically, you're saying that the economy actually shrank in per person terms in the March quarter and also almost 1% in the September quarter.
Yes, that's right.
So this is not good news, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, there's been a lot of media about how Australia has got world-beating economic growth, but a large part of that is because we've got very high immigration, and so the GDP goes up a lot because we just bring in a whole lot of people to work. Which sounds all nice, but it's not actually improving the amount that each of us are producing individually. If you look at it individually, we're actually we went backwards twice in the last four quarters, not looking good at all.
So investment, you're saying that investment is in poor shape. We all know, I think, that wages growth is very small, if not stagnant. And
that's right.
With inflation, if you're not getting wage growth, you're actually going backwards.
That's right. I mean, it's of course all averages, so some people will be doing better and some people will be doing worse, but on average we're flatlining in real wages or perhaps even going backwards.
So the Treasurer, Federal Treasurer Scott Morrison, a few times I've watched him recently and he's been reasonably upbeat. He's obviously aware of these figures.
You would think so.
Well, you would hope so. So what's going on there?
Well, I don't think he hasn't been ebullient or effusive. He's been moderately positive. So to be fair, he hasn't been saying, "Oh, we've got the best economy in the entire universe." He has been saying, "Oh, there are risks and everything." And I think he has mentioned about weakness in investment. That's an important point. And some people have actually specifically asked him, "Oh, do we have a world-beating economy?" And he says, "Well, there's a debate over that one," which is right. There is. There is.
So he's acknowledging that there is something not quite right then.
One economist has said that Japan has actually got a much longer record of growth. The headline growth, this is not growth per person. And if you do it to growth per person, we're nowhere near well-being.
So Michael, how is property contributing to this situation that we're in now?
To the GDP figures.
Yeah.
Well, buying and selling existing houses is just basically the lawyers' fees and the real estate agents' fees add to the GDP. But actually building a new house or a new apartment, that actually does add quite a lot to it. So it's new construction, which is where you mostly see it, with a tiny amount for lawyers and real estate agents.
Okay, so the actual trading of existing property, that figure isn't included in GDP as such?
Oh, well, it's what the economists call the value added. So it's the lawyer fees and the real estate agent fees plus a couple of other things. So, you know, a house for $1 million, you'd only probably find, you know, 30,000, 40,000 of that actually adds to GDP.
GDP.
Mm. Well, it depends. I mean, on all sorts of factors, but, you know, so that's a reasonable number.
Well, I suppose if you included the actual increase in the transaction price of property, the GDP. But then again, there are other Western countries that have the same housing price issues.
Oh, yeah,
as
absolutely. Some people, I think that Australia is unique in having rapidly increasing house prices, but we're not. And of course, there's another point, which is, you know, Perth prices are going down, and they're sort of they're going strongly in Melbourne and very strongly in Sydney, but sort of not that well in the rest of the country.
Yes.
So housing is quite a mixed bag for Australia. Perhaps just like the economy too.
Before we get on to the bank levy, I wanted to ask you quickly, the UK election, Jeremy Corbyn had a tax and spend agenda, I'm not going to make a comment on the politics of it, versus the Conservatives. Now, the result there, you know, we've got a hung parliament, the Conservatives are going to have to govern with the support of the Ulster Unionists, which will be interesting. But
yes.
In terms of the economy, how's the UK sitting? To me, some of the figures I look at, it looks like a bit of a basket case.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say that. They're not doing brilliantly, but to be fair, there are a whole lot of developed countries which are not doing that well. We had the GFC, and the economies have sort of been going okay since then, with, you know, a couple of notable exceptions like Greece. They've sort of been mediocre since then, with a couple of ones which have been doing really badly. But mostly it's been pretty mediocre across the board. And I guess that's going back to Australia. We actually look not that great when you look at it in per person terms. We actually look pretty good if you look at the headline rate. But so I think that's the same thing would apply to the UK. They're not doing badly. They're not doing brilliantly. They were one of the harder hit countries with the GFC.
So, Michael, just a slight deviation on this theme. What do you think are the ramifications of the election results in the UK for Australia and maybe even for the rest of Europe and the world?
Yeah, well, I would say the implications for Australia are not enormous. The amount of trade which we do with the UK has been... the share of our trade going to the UK has been going down. We're much more integrated with Asia now. So... I don't think it will have an enormous impact. Obviously, it'll have much greater impact upon Europe. We've got, you know, stability problems, and they're trying to exit from the EU, and now they don't have a strong government. And, you know, they're going to be facing some significant problems. Maybe even Theresa May will face a challenge.
Yeah.
That's distinctly possible. Boris might be circling.
It's interesting. Everything I've read this morning in the press, the mainstream press, has basically said, you know, blah, 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 blah. And the second line is very much about, and will she be Prime Minister next week?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one possibility, she might be asked to step aside. Another one, she might actually receive a full frontal assault from somebody.
Yeah.
Probably Boris, but who knows?
Boris. Now,
I'm not an expert on UK politics.
No, that's cool.
No, it's just good to have your opinion as an economist. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Now,
but I just say the economics. I think we can be reasonably safe here. The UK it's not going to be quite so good, but Australia we're reasonably well insulated.
Now, the bank levy, depending on who you listen to as to how much it will be, and the banks have one figure, the government has another. But I'm interested, you know, when the government, when Scott Morrison said, well, the banks can absorb this. Well, to coin one of the Tories talking about Jeremy Corbyn and the magic money tree, the banks can't absorb this. It has to be passed on in either fees or a reduction in costs or a reduction, or changes in interest rates paid or dividends. So why say you can absorb it? I mean, has Scott Morrison discover the banks have a magic money tree?
Yeah, well, he might be dissembling or obfuscating on that one. When I think he means absorb it, he either means cost reductions or reducing dividends. I think that's what he means. I'm trying to be as generous as I can. I don't think he actually thinks they have a magic money tree. You know, banks might seem like they can produce money out of thin air, but they can't. It will come from somewhere. So cost-cutting is a distinct possibility, and they could get rid of more branches and make more transactions automatic. Or they could be cutting dividends. I just think that that's not that likely in the long term. I had a look at the international evidence, and it seems in there have been about 12 or 13 other developed countries which have put a bank levy on, and the research suggests that they all ended up with higher mortgage rates.
Yeah. Just as a closing, Michael, do you support the levy, and does the CIS support the levy?
No, definitely not. the thing is, it looks like it's an attack on the super rich banks, but effectively it ends up being an attack on mortgage holders, which is not a good idea.
And shareholders, and people.
They'll pass it right through.
And people's superannuation.
Oh, yeah. I actually think it's definitely had a hit on shareholders today, in the past couple of weeks. But in the longer term, it's not going to be really a shareholder thing. It's going to be a mortgage holder thing.
Yep.
And I just don't think that's a very good idea.
Great. Look, we're out of time, Michael. Once again, thank you for your insight, and thank you to the Centre for Independent Studies for allowing us to talk to you. Really appreciate it.
Great.
Hope you have a nice Saturday, and keep an eye on those mortgage rates, mate. They're going to sneak them up on you. Thanks very much. That was Michael Potter from the Centre for Independent Studies.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.